It's an unfortunate fact of our modern life. Hate crimes seem to be exploding. The Los Angeles County Human Relations Commission has made it a mission to battle hate with its program LA Versus Hate. We get an update from them on what's being done to help us all get along. The LA City Attorney's agenda is very focused on battling child sex trafficking. We take a look at the progress made in that this year. And the city of South Pasadena has the honor of having one of the six home-built floats in the Rose Parade, a tradition that dates back to 1911. We'll take a look at this year's entry and the volunteers that make it possible. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. It's a subject we hate to even talk about, but we must. Hate crimes are surging. The report for 2023 has just been released, and the news is not good. In fact, the reported hate crimes in L.A. County jumped 45% last year, from 930 to 1,350. That's the largest number in the history of this report. Robin Toma, Executive Director of the L.A. County Human Relations Commission, is here to talk about that. And good to see you, Robin. Thanks for being here. And these numbers, they're disturbing, aren't they?
Absolutely. We knew that we have been seeing a rise in the hate crimes each year in a way that we've never seen before, with no significant decline ever in 10 years. So we know that something has changed, has shifted in our county, in our country, really. But I didn't expect it to be this much of a increase beyond 2001, when September 11th occurred, and we just saw this explosion of anti-Muslim, anti-Middle Eastern hate. So This was surprising.
You know, commission members have been calling it historic, unprecedented. It is, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We used to always think about this high of being 1,000 that we were never close to, and we became very far from it in the mid 2013, in that time. So to see it go from some number that is well below 600 to being double that in the short amount of time, relatively short amount of time, is very troubling.
Can you break down the numbers for me a little bit?
Of course. So the most common type of hate crime that we're seeing is racial, ethnic, national origin based. That comprises about half of all the hate crimes that get reported in the county, and that includes this year. The next largest group is typically sexual orientation hate crime, targeting gays and lesbians, and that tends to be about one out of every five or six hate crimes reported. Anti-Semitic, anti-Muslim, all which constitutes religious hate crime, is already at this year one out of every five, about 20% of all the hate crime.
And we report so much here on television of these crimes, but what do you think is the real reason behind this escalation of numbers?
Well, I think it's a few things. I think that we all recognize that what happens in the world, what happens in the country, does have an impact here in LA County. We have an incredible population that's so huge and wonderfully diverse. And I want to emphasize that, by and large, we get along fabulously well in this county. But there are communities, there are places which have had experienced hate crime. There are communities who are particularly targeted for hate crime. And I'll tell you, it's the African American, Latino, Jewish, and the LGBT communities that make up about 70 to 80% of our hate crime year to year. Yes, yes.
Well, how much of that comes in online? How much of that comes in through 211?
So that's a great question. I think that what we are also seeing is not only the actual increase in hate crime, but we're actually seeing an improvement in reporting. We know that because our numbers of hate crimes that come in through LAVersusHate.org, online reporting, and calling 211, is now the third largest source of reports of hate crime that are exceeded only by the LAPD and the LA Sheriff's Department. That means all the police departments from Long Beach, Glendale, Pasadena, the other 40-some city police departments, as well as university police, LAUSD police, community-based organizations, LA versus hate is the third largest source, and this is the third year in a row. So we know that that is really a good thing in that we're getting people to report who didn't before used to feel comfortable going to the police.
So the numbers are going up, more people are reporting, and you put it out as a published report every year. But is there more that the commission does to try to help people after reporting these numbers?
Absolutely, and I think that's key. What we have been doing for years, but really have ramped up, with LA versus Hate, is that now we're actually knowing who are victimized by hate crimes. Before, if they went to the police, well, of course, their identity as under state law is protected, so we couldn't contact those victims. Mm-hmm. But now, because they report directly to LA versus Hate, we know who they are. We talk to them about what happened to them. We learn information and we help them with whatever their situation is, whether it's landlord-tenant, a civil rights situation in public spaces, in public accommodations, whether it's a school-based issue or whatever it is, public transportation. Wherever it happens, we know so much more. We're working with the victim and we're able to really provide the support. So I think people do call us because they realize it's worthwhile for them.
I almost hesitate to go here, but after the recent election, was there more bias? Was there more hate? Were things changing in some way or another?
Well, I think that it's very clear that there's a correlation between groups that were talked about a lot during the campaign, immigrants, the transgender community, Muslims, and we saw increases in all those categories. I will tell you, we saw increases across the board, but the difference in the increases, right, were much more striking for those who were specifically named. For example, anti-transgender hate crimes, the highest ever in our history, and they're almost all violent.
So you have LA versus Hate. What's that? LA versus Hate?
Yes.
What is that?
LA versus Hate is our anti-hate program for the county of Los Angeles.
And so what are they doing about this?
So it's a program that we run for the county government, which really is based in community partnerships. And I think that's what's unique, because I think we recognize that the people targeted by hate oftentimes have a distrust of government and law enforcement. And so in partnering with community-based organizations that work in communities that are affected by hate, we actually have built up a much stronger connection to those communities affected by hate. And so, we've done murals in communities, in the Jewish, in the LGBT community, in the Latino community, African-American communities. We have funded organizations to assist us with hate violence prevention and prevention education. We're doing anti-black racism workshops with many of our Dream Resource Centers that are based in schools, as well as community-based organizations. So there's a whole array of programs we do, because we know that it's not enough to report it. We have been working on this for a long time, and we're really ramping up our resources.
We're out of time, but if you have a short message, what do you want to tell people out there?
I would tell people it's so important to report hate when they see it, because this is a historical problem of underreporting. But even more than that, if you can actually just reach out to others and show that you are in solidarity with them, even if you are not a victim, let's be together, because that is the way we're going to discourage haters and those who carry out acts of hate.
Robin Thoma, thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we talked to the LA City Attorney about progress LA has made on topics from child sex trafficking to short-term rental abuse. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and joining us right now is LA City Attorney Heidi Feldstein Soto. And, I think it's important to follow up on what we just talked about. Hate crimes.
Absolutely.
This is the hate crime report. And so what do you think about what he said? You're on the city level, they're on the county level.
It's hard to do apples to apples, but there are some pieces of it that struck me in particular. Sometimes we think we've come very far, and he did make the point that more people are reporting hate crimes. I agree with that. But that explains the absolute number of increase. It doesn't explain the proportionate share, the disproportionate share of the hate crimes that fall on certain groups.
So what about Los Angeles City?
I'm extrapolating from the county numbers, because
right.
I don't have the city numbers. But, for example, African Americans represent 8% of the total population in the city of Los Angeles. According to this report, they are 49% of the victims in hate crimes across LA County. That is wildly disproportionate. Our Jewish population is a minuscule percentage of the population in the county. And yet, anti-Semitism and crimes against Jews in the religious category more than doubled. So there are certain communities, certain ethnic groups, mostly identifiable, if you will, that we especially have to work hard to protect.
What do you attribute that to?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm such a mixed bag.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Latina Jew. There's even an organization called Judina, but we're very few and far between. Yeah. And I'm very proud of the fact that in my office, the State Bar of California awarded my office the Gold Seal for diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah.
Just because of the progress that we've made in developing a leadership team that looks like Los Angeles and bringing women and, you know, folks from different communities and different backgrounds into leadership positions. San Francisco has a silver. San Diego has a bronze. We got the gold.
We got the gold? Good. You know, you've had quite the year of attacking certain issues. One of them, child sex trafficking. Talk about that.
I'm very proud of that. So let's start with some of the numbers. We have rescued 177 minors from the Figueroa Street corridor alone over the course of the last year and a half.
177?
Yes.
That's a lot.
The youngest is 11. Well, and I shouldn't say we. I give full credit to the Los Angeles Police Department, the 77th Street Station, and Deputy Chief Amada Tingaridis. Mm-hmm. I also give an awful lot of credit to the providers who we partner with.
Right, and before you get into that, explain to everybody what the Figueroa Street Corridor is so they understand.
The Figueroa Street Corridor is a 5.5-mile stretch of Figueroa Street that goes from just around USC down to the 105.
Okay.
And historically, if you Google it on YouTube, you will see pictures and videos from about 2 years ago mm-hmm. with hundreds of women and young girls in various stages of undress, from nudity to provocative clothing, and cars lined up with men inside waiting to be served.
You've made this a mission.
We have made a huge difference. The mayor and I went out on a Saturday night at 11:30, and instead of hundreds of sex workers, we were down to about a dozen. Let me explain my mission. My mission is directed at the kids. I do not prioritize, consensual sex without adults, whether or not money changes hands. That's not where I'm focused. I am very focused on trafficking and very focused on the sex trafficking of minors, because I think it's an abomination that needs to be extinguished in my lifetime.
You know, it's interesting that over the last few years, we've seen this sort of word sex trafficking take on more and more significance. And it used to be that there were prostitution issues, then all of a sudden it became they were sex trafficked. And so where did the change come in? How do we start getting more in this lane of understanding that people are being abused?
Well, typically if what you're talking about is street prostitution, that is almost always some form of coercion and abuse, if not outright trafficking. Hmm. It is a scourge on our city. There are some pimps who deliberately will get a 14 or 15-year-old girl pregnant. Why? Because that means she cannot ever get away from her trafficker. The child is the bond. The child is the tie. And the biological father will go into family court and demand visitation rights. So one of the bills I want to take to Sacramento this year, for example, is an amendment to the family code to change the parental rights for those who've been convicted of trafficking and other abuse toward the other biological parent.
I want to talk about something else, short-term rental abuse.
Yes, we've been very successful in that front. I think last time I was here, I talked to you about a party house platform.
Yes, you did.
That we shut down. Since then, we've actually busted up a ring of folks who were renting rent-stabilized units.
So what we have here, people rent something for short-term.
No, they rent it long-term, and then they put it on they keep it empty, and they put it on platforms without a license to rent it short-term like a hotel.
We're under a minute, but what are your goals for 2025?
I would like to pass some legislation for public safety. I had five bills introduced last year, two crossed houses. None got to the governor's desk. I would like to change that this year. I'm very focused on looking outward from my office and improving our community services. And most importantly, I've got a task force that I've started with pro bono law firms and Norm Eisen to try to make sure that our city is not punished in the allocation of federal funding in the upcoming year.
You know, it's funny. Time flies just like this segment. your last year. Just moved right along, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
All right, thanks for being with us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, the Rose Parade is just a few weeks away, and for float builders, the heat is on. For one local city, it's an all-volunteer effort. We take a look at how the city of South Pasadena is building their float from the chicken wire up. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. If you're not aware, Fox 11 is carrying the Rose Parade this year. And you can see our in-depth special, A History of Roses, about the Rose Parade on Sunday, September 29th. For that special, we always go out to the big float companies and see the workers soldering and sawing and gluing and shaping those magnificent floats. But sometimes we forget that some of those floats are more modest, volunteer efforts. One of those floats represents the city of South Pasadena. To tell us about that, we have Ed Donnelly, who's the president of the South Pasadena Tournament of Roses Committee. Welcome, Ed, and you know, I'm so impressed with cities who make their own floats, don't go to the float makers. Tell us a little bit about your float, and let's look at a picture of what it'll look like when it's all done. Oh, wow, look at that.
There it is now. The theme of the Rose Parade this year is best day ever. So our design team thought about the theme and how to represent our community in South Pasadena, and we went right to childhood and having the best day ever with your friends. So we have three friends who've strapped together a makeshift raft, and they're sailing out for an afternoon of adventure together.
Wow. You know, when we were Hunter Lowry, my producer, and I were out there at Tournament House, we talked to Ed Morales, the president of the tournament, and he told us about that theme, best day ever. And I like that. It's very positive, but it's kind of vague. So how did you get to that point of saying this represents best day ever?
Well, we thought about some of the milestones of life, graduations, babies being born, marriages, that sort of thing. And then we started to take a thoughtful look at, again, representing our community. And we have a lot of young families that come to South Pasadena for our fantastic school district. So we really wanted to lean into the idea of that sort of carefree childhood moment.
You know, that's a very impressive title you've got for your float. Seize the Day, but S-E-A-S instead of seize, as in seize the moment. How'd you come up with that?
Courtney Quinn, who's one of our on our design board, just shouted it out as soon as we took a look at that sketch.
That's wonderful. I mean, and how did you get involved in all this?
I became aware of South Pasadena's efforts about 10 years ago, and as I learned more and more about the history of the float and the fact that this community has been building it by themselves as volunteers since 1911, I became very intrigued. So when the opportunity to take a larger role was offered to me, I leapt at the chance.
How do you do this? We're looking at the framework of a float there. Tell us a little bit about that and how the volunteers get involved.
So we have a moving chassis that we use each year that we build each new design on top of, and that's what you're seeing there on the screen.
Right.
And then from there, our workers take the renderings and the designs, basically a blueprint, and begin to construct with steel and wood the infrastructure that eventually will be covered 100% in natural materials, not just flowers, but seeds, grasses, all kinds of things.
Who puts out the funding?
We rely on the generosity of our community to entirely fund the float. You'll see in our tent there, we have some local businesses that donate, but really we reach out to every member of our city and ask them for their support. Our projected budget for this year is $150,000, which is quite a bit higher than we had seen in previous years, but the cost of flowers has gone up, and that's our biggest expense.
Yeah, this stuff isn't cheap. I mean, you've got very, very expensive floats rolling down Colorado Boulevard on New Year's Day, but I hear you're having a fundraiser. Is that right?
We are. Each year on December 29th, we have what we call the crunch party, because it's crunch time. We're down to the last few hours to get flowers on the float, and we invite the community to come to the float site. We have a great dinner. We have live auction, silent auction, and the opportunity for those to attend, not just to donate, but also to come down and watch those final few flowers going on as we get ready to roll down Colorado Boulevard.
Let me just ask one question about that fundraising. Are you a little bit short on cash this year? Is that what's going on?
We're right on target, but we don't want to take our foot off the gas yet.
Now, when we see the volunteers out dealing with floats, it's always about putting on beans and flowers and peas and all kinds of interesting things. What do your volunteers do?
You'll see much of that this year. We had a challenge because we're on a boat and the water is blue, and there aren't a lot of types of flowers that are naturally blue. So we actually had a special batch of mums grown in Japan that
really?
We'll be putting on those spots that, to represent the waves and as the boat moves forward.
What do you think of when you've done this more than 1 year? What do you think of when you see your float going down Colorado Boulevard and maybe you hear some oohs and ahs from people on the curbs?
Yeah, you know, we come together as a community to build this float because we have pride in our city. And to see our float on national TV or right there on the street in Colorado and hear the cheers of the crowd, that's really, really rewarding.
How much time do you get to build these floats? When do you start the next one, for instance?
It starts a couple days after the parade. It's a 12-month process. We even now are starting to consider design ideas for next year before we've even finished this year's float.
And before you even know the theme, right?
We've got a hint from Terminal of Roses, and so we're thinking of ideas, but when we get the final announcement, that's when we really get to work to pick a new design that, again, represents our community, which will be the 2026 Rose Parade.
Yeah, we need a little breaking news here. You want to kind of leak the information?
About the hint?
The new theme.
Yeah, no, I better not do that. I don't want to get in trouble with those.
Well,
I
like seize the day for your float, and I like the best day ever. And so tell us your website and how people can get involved.
It is sptor.org, and there you can find opportunities to sign up to volunteer, to come decorate the float, and also to make donations. And our souvenir booth is online as well, so you can get some memorabilia. And I would encourage people, even if they don't want to get their hands dirty and join in with us to build this thing, come down and visit the site. It's at 425 Fair Oaks Avenue in South Pasadena. As we get into especially that week between Christmas and New Year's, you'll really see this thing come to life.
Okay, very good. Thank you for joining us, Ed Donnelly. Good luck with your float, and Fox 11 News In Depth will continue right after this break. Don't go away. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.